everybody, and welcome to the DK and Bill Wrestling Podcast. I am Bill.
I'm DK.
And today we're going to do something very special for you guys. We are going to do our first watch-along. And what we're going to watch in a couple of minutes, and DK was the one that left me with the choice. We're going to watch the main event of SummerSlam 97, Bret Hart versus The Undertaker for the WWF title. But before we get to that match, let's talk about kind of the build to this show.
Yeah. It's, they're in the middle of their Canada versus U.S. Kind of rivalry, mm-hmm. where the Hart Foundation's pro Canada, they're heels in America, and they're faces in Canada, which is really cool. The last pay-per-view before this one was one I was actually at, where they had a 5-on-5 matchup in Calgary, which is Hart Foundation's home, well, Bret and Owen's home, and basically a home base for Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of like, they kind of used that event to set up SummerSlam with all the different single matches that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say this is the climax of the Canada-US, because
it's not.
But it's kind of like a stepping stone to what we'll see at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's kind of like, I think Sean's a ref in this match. We didn't talk about that already.
Right.
And there's a lot of stipulations here. Like, if Bret loses, he can't wrestle in the U.S. If Sean doesn't call it down the middle.
Right.
He
is banned.
Then he's banned. And then I remember we talked about this in our 97 show when we were still doing video, where I was like, oh man, I hope Sean screws him, because then we'll have Sean versus Bret in Canada,
mm-hmm.
like all the time, because they won't be able to wrestle in the U.S. They got to make a living still, right?
Yeah.
So I think everyone, you could kind of see what was going to happen maybe with this match.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't foresee Bret losing, and with Sean as a ref, it was very intriguing, like, what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And we are, like, the next show that I wanted to do was Bret Hart. So I figured a watch-along with Bret involved,
mm-hmm.
in it would be really good for us to start our, like, for the first episode of the watch-along.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I watched this match about a year ago. As I rewatched the entire year of 97, I did all the pay-per-views.
Right.
Basically when we're out of work due to the pandemic. And this is a great show. This is a hard situation for these guys, I think, because these guys don't know. Like, if you watch the show, this is right after Owen tombstones Steve Austin.
Well,
They don't know what's going on with them.
Well, this is the show where it happens.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, the match we're about to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The match previous was the tombstone,
right.
And these guys, like, you know now that he's very injured and it takes him a few months to get back. But at the time, nobody knew that he was going to come back. They thought, like, this could be career ending. So,
yeah.
This would kind of be like a hard spot, I think, to, like, go out and follow, like, a major injury. And you got to, it's the main event. You got to, you know,
mm-hmm.
continue the show. And you're, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain what I'm saying here, but it's just kind of hard to follow. So, something like that, maybe.
Right.
Maybe Bret's thinking of his brother just maybe ending the career of the next up-and-coming
right.
star.
Right.
So I don't want to take too much away from the match we're about to watch, but that's something to think about, I think, with the way this match is set up.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about some of the other stuff that did happen before we get to the main event. Yeah. This is held in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at the Continental Airlines Arena. A pretty good attendance for this show. 20,213 came to this show.
And it's isn't it the first event back in New Jersey in a long time, because mm-hmm. the new governor,
it is,
made some law or something so they could come back.
Yeah.
Do something like that.
There is, for those that have never seen this show, there is a segment on the pay-per-view.
So bad.
Where then WWF president Gorilla Monsoon gives the governor of New Jersey a replica WWF championship belt.
Yeah, she's the champion.
Yep.
And she raises it over her head.
Yep. Forever.
The crowd's all cheering, which is, I don't know.
And there is one other thing that happens on this show that, for better or for worse, is often ignored, and probably for good reason. Because as we were going on the road to SummerSlam this year, they were doing a $1 million contest. And the object of the contest was this. And I remember it because I actually participated in this.
Did you?
Yeah. Every week on Raw for a 4-week period, mm-hmm. they were going to give you a special keyword. And you had to write the word down. Four words.
Just a little contest.
Yeah, kind of a little contest.
It give you an incentive to watch Monday Night Raw to get the keyword.
Yeah. And the little pamphlet was in the WWF magazine, so if you had the magazine, you can, write the words in.
Nice.
Once you got all 4 words, you had to mail the pamphlet to this address.
Okay.
2 people ended up at SummerSlam with a chance to win $1 million. They were also going to draw 2 other names by random. And this is live television, folks.
Oh, so funny.
So there are a couple of times where they call a number and either it gets this number does not exist, or no one answers, or it goes to answering machine.
Wasn't there a part where Todd Pettengill called and there was a fax machine?
Yes, I think so.
Or I remember him calling and someone answered. He's like, "Are you watching SummerSlam?" And the guy's like, "No." And then it's all awkward. And he's like, "Oh."
Yeah, the fans are booing this guy too.
And then the guy's like, "Our cable provider doesn't get it." And then Todd's like, "That's okay." And he's like, "What are we supposed to do now?"
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can remember this, but I don't think after this event they do anything like this ever again.
They never.
It went so horrible.
Well, not until Vince gave his own money away. But that was a long time ago. But anyway.
Got the money and.
So.
Long story short.
So.
Sunshine Sable around there looking sexy. So it was all good.
Yeah. So what you had to do. What you had to do is there's a casket and you have to pick a key. If you pick the right key, you win $1 million. So the 2 people on the phone, they pick their number and do not get it.
Mm-hmm.
Then the 2 people that are at the show pick their key and they don't get it.
Yep.
And then at the end, Todd goes to the guy and he's like, "So, what number had the key?" And he goes, 3. And then Jerry Lawler's like, "Oh, 3 rhymes with king." Oh.
That was the saving grace of the whole segment. Jerry Lawler gone, 3 rhymes with 3.
Oh,
And then the little kid gets like a hug from Sable, and then Jerry goes crazy, like, that's better than $1 million. Like, I don't know.
In 97, maybe.
Yeah, the future Mrs. Lesnar, right. Which is still.
But yeah, the $1 million. So anyway, the rest of the show, before we get to the main event.
It's a good show, honestly. It's probably my second favorite show of 97.
I like this show, actually. And it's really good. And I haven't seen this in a long time, but there's like one spot that's kind of skippable, but the rest are kind of enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. Good matches and like a lot of like finishing of rivalries. Like you got Mankind and Triple H in the opening match in a steel cage, which is, I liked steel cage matches, but for an opener, what did you think of that?
You know what? I think it made sense because you want to get the pay-per-view starting hot, and there's no better way than a cage match.
And I guess they could set up the cage like before the event, and then you don't have to like have that little mini intermission, because this is like the blue cage. This is the last time they had the blue cage. I believe this match is the last one.
You know what? We could ask somebody if they know if this was the last time. I want to say maybe, but
I listened to a show on Grilling JR about this event, and Jim Ross does mention that this was the last time they used the blue cage, and I guess a lot of the wrestlers didn't like it because it was, they didn't really have much give to it when you got thrown into stuff, and then they started doing that almost, it's a fence, and then it lowers from the ceiling, which makes it a little easier setup and stuff, so. But yeah, it's a good match. See a little Mick Foley doing his snooker kind of impression there. Not in Madison Square Garden, but pretty close, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's, you know, just across the Hudson River, you know.
Not like a homecoming a little bit for Mick Foley in that, that event.
Oh, yeah.
Then he, like, opens his shirt, and it's supposed to have a Dude Love heart on his chest. But it kind of, like, sweat it off so you can't really see it, but the announcers, like, make a point about it. Then you look, you're like, I don't see any heart. I see a little red smudge. I guess that was supposed to be a Dude Love heart, so.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
Then the next match, Goldust defeated Brian Pillman, and because Brian Pillman lost the match, he had to wear a dress.
I honestly don't know what Brian Pillman did to deserve all this stuff at the end of his career. Like, I know, like, you didn't know it was going to be the end of his career.
I think it was going to lead up to something bigger.
I should hope so, because if you look at Brian Pillman prior WWE,
what a talent
he was. If he didn't get that ankle injury in the car accident, this guy would have been Stone Cold Steve Austin. He would have been that hot, I think. And, like, when he went to ECW, those promos he was cutting. And then, I don't know, I don't think WWF ever, they never knew what to do with him, I think.
Right.
They put him with the Hart Foundation. He had that history with Steve Austin. I feel like if he wasn't injured, he could have had a really good rivalry with Steve Austin.
I think
later.
I think if he had lived into 98, I think we would have had an Austin Pillman feud. I really think that way.
Yeah, like as Austin as the champion and then Pillman as the challenger?
Yeah. Like I think Pillman would have been in the Foley spot, like we talked about in the last episode, where, you know, Mick had the two title shots. I think that would have been Pillman, now that I think back.
I think Pillman would have been better as a Steve Austin type character, like a anti-establishment.
Right.
I don't see Pillman kind of being the corporate challenger. Like if we're just going to put, like, subtract Dude Love in 98 and put in Pillman, I don't know if that would have worked in the same situation. I'm sure that the rivalry would have been good.
Yeah.
But I kind of see Pillman more as like that Steve Austin character, against the authority type guys, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, yeah, that's, it's crazy. And did you know, I found out about this a couple days ago, that Brian Pillman and Eddie Guerrero died in the same hotel?
No, I did not know that.
In the same city, around the same time of year, in the same hotel.
I didn't know about the hotel. I knew about the city.
It's crazy. Like, what's going on in Minneapolis?
Yeah. I mean, I read...
the city I'm making...
Like I read, real quick, I read a report during the week with the most recent AEW pay-per-view that they did not stay in the same hotel where Eddie died.
Yeah, I just heard that too. Because they didn't want wrestlers to be thinking about it.
Yeah, which makes sense.
There's a Marriott in Minneapolis, if anyone's in Minneapolis.
Right.
If we can get the show that far. I don't know who's listening. Mm-hmm. Be nice to get some comments and feedback.
Yeah. Legion of Doom defeated the Godwins.
The Godwins are heels here, right?
Yes.
I like them better as heels.
I like their theme music as heels, honestly.
Yeah. They just changed the like country to like a little bit more
violent.
They just, yeah.
I always liked that one.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
And then they just didn't wear shirts underneath their overalls, and now they're heels, right? I liked both those guys, though, as workers.
Yeah.
Thought they were good.
As
a tag team.
That was a... Yeah. It was actually, like, kind of an underrated team.
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean, I'm not saying they were the greatest, but... You put them against guys like the Legion of Doom and then maybe the Outlaws and them. Yeah, you could get some good stuff out of them.
Yeah. You don't see much of the Godwins post-97, do you?
They're there in 98.
Are they there in 98?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they do have... They have a feud with the Legion of Doom because I remember there's, like, some point where one of the Godwins gets her neck broken.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was fine.
Yeah.
With the Legion of Doom's move,
yeah,
where he jumped the top rope. I'm spacing on what it's called.
Right.
The
British Bulldog defeated Ken Shamrock by DQ. This was for the European title, and the stipulation to this match was the loser had to eat dog food. And I remember the ending because when Davey Boy put the food in Shamrock's face, Shamrock lost it.
Yeah.
And the way he sold his like craziness, his, you know, anger, and then the officials try to break it up was so good.
Yeah. You know what? I honestly think he lost it for real.
Like, probably. What did you?
That dog food like actually in his mouth. So... And the DQ was a good way for Shamrock to win, but then Bulldog keeps the title because they wanted to do that one night only with Sean, where Bulldog was supposed to win, and they were supposed to do this whole thing in the UK.
Yeah,
with Bulldog being the big fan favorite and winning, and then Sean just changed it at the end.
Yep,
that's. Talk for a different show.
That is, yep. then we had an 8-man tag match. This is the one that you guys can skip. Los Boricuas defeated the DOA. Yeah, this is a real thing.
Yeah. And this was like, so they had the Nation of Domination. In early 97, which was Farouk, Crush, and Savio Vega. And then Farouk fires the two members, and then he kind of makes it the four guys.
Right.
And so now now they kind of got their own groups here, which was kind of cool, I thought, when they all had, like, there was so many stables, and you had, like, all these four-on-four matches. The negative part about this match for me is it's just too long. Like, I think it's, like, a 10-minute match, and, like, these should be 3 to 5 minutes. Everybody gets in, you smash each other, somebody gets a pin, or there's a DQ or something. That's how these four-on-four matches should go.
Yeah.
Especially on a pay-per-view that, like now the pay-per-views are so long. Like, I think this pay-per-view is, it's only 2 hours, 49 minutes.
Yeah.
And you got a couple, like, big-time main events, like Owen Hart and Austin was over 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think it was even longer, but with the injury.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. So, you're looking at an hour and a little bit for two matches. So, you got to fit in the other matches.
Yeah.
I just thought it was too long.
And as we mentioned earlier, the match before the main event, Stone Cold Steve Austin beats Owen Hart for the Intercontinental title.
With the saddest roll up you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
It was good by Owen. And it was actually kind of funny, like, when Austin was, like, hurt. So Austin says to the ref, like, tell him to buy me some time.
Mm-hmm.
So then Owen just turns to the crowd and says, now he's going to have to kiss my ass. And it was a kiss my ass match. So Austin's sitting there. He's, like, half paralyzed. He's like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to kiss his ass. I have to win this match.
Right.
He was supposed to win it with his... Like, what was supposed to happen was he's supposed to get the tombstone, but it's supposed to be Owen's supposed to go to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's supposed to kick out of the tombstone. It's supposed to be a big, big kick out. And then Austin's supposed to, like, duck some clothesline and hit him with a stunner. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And then he wins the Intercontinental Championship. And it's a big, big championship win for Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was his first singles title, right?
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah, because he wins the tag titles with Shawn Michaels earlier this year.
Yeah, he does.
But it's his first, like, big championship, and kind of sucks the way it happened. And he wrote in his book that he, if it wasn't a kiss my ass match, he would have had Owen beat him because he didn't want to win the title in some sad, lame way.
Right.
He wanted to win with Stunner.
Yeah.
Because it was a kiss my ass match, he's sitting there like, I'm not kissing this guy's ass, so I have to win the match.
Right.
And then Owen's just yelling to the crowd and like he's doing what he needs to do to buy them some time, but I'm sure that pissed off Steve. Yeah. Like, you just paralyzed me and now you're yelling at the crowd. I have to kiss your ass, like, come on, man. But yeah, it was a big injury. Kinda changed his whole career. It might have helped him a little bit, to be honest.
Might have.
Kind of changed to more of a brawler.
Mm-hmm.
And those segments that he had with, like, in a few months when he couldn't wrestle, when he was, like, stunning, like, all the authority guys on Raw, I think that really helped him. But, anyways, so here we are, main event.
Yep, here we go. So, as we mentioned earlier, it is Bret Hart and The Undertaker for the WWF title. Shawn Michaels is the guest referee. DK mentioned the stipulations. If Bret Hart loses this match, he can never wrestle in the United States ever again. And if Shawn Michaels does not call this match down the middle, he can never wrestle ever again in the United States. And The Undertaker, well, he's just the poor sap that's in the middle of it.
He's the poor sap that's the champion that doesn't need to be the champion. But it's 97, so.
Right. So if you guys want to join us for this, if you are here in the U.S., go to Peacock. Go to SummerSlam Season 10, Episode 1. That's how they have it listed.
Oh, let's talk about Peacock for a second.
Please do.
Okay, so if you guys are, if this is the first time you're listening to us, I hope you go back and listen to the other shows. But so I'm DK and I live in Canada. We still have the WWE Network. we just go on our, we go on to the network website, and then you have to enter in your TV provider and all that fun stuff. But then you get everything. There's no commercials. You just pick the match you want. Pick the show that it gets uploaded so quickly. And Bill, you've been telling me this stuff about Peacock. It doesn't sound like it's the greatest greatest thing you guys have to
use
for wrestling, unfortunately. No. So if you do get a commercial while we're watching it, just let me know. I will hit pause because there's no commercials on mine. There's no ads or anything like that. So if there's in the middle and then all of a sudden you get an ad, just let me know. We'll, and then I'll pause it because I want to be on the same same rate as you.
Yeah.
So we're at I'm at 201.16, and there's a picture of the Empire State Building. Now this is the beginning, right before they're about to start talking, like kind of like the trailer for the match.
Yeah.
So this isn't important, especially with this match, because they're gonna talk about how we got here, how Brett is the number one contender, and all the stuff that goes along with this match. So I recommend you start at 201.16.
Yep. So we'll give you guys a brief moment to get you set up, and then we'll do a countdown to hit the play button, and then we will go from there. So.
And before, I just wanted, are you going to have the sound?
No, I am not.
Okay, I'm going to have sound just very low.
Okay.
It shouldn't play over the mic because I'm sitting pretty far back.
Right.
If you hear anything on my end, then just let me know and I'll definitely turn it down.
All right. So on that note, I'll start the countdown. We will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. Here we are.
My Zoom with Brett.
There are with Brett in, looks like they, I think that was when they were in Edmonton for the Raw after the Calgary show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was also at. We did. It's a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, wow.
It was disappointing when he came out in the Edmonton Oilers jersey, I'll be honest with you. Because, like, come on, man. I know they're doing the Canada thing, but.
Yeah.
But if he had come out in the Flames jersey, he would have got booed out of the building. So.
Exactly. Be like, you know, I can't really wear just Calgary. I got to wear more.
He kind of came out in a Team Canada jersey. That would have done the job.
Yeah, that would have been fair. That would have made more sense, I would think.
Yeah. But is what it is. And here's Sean with his the Maple Leafs in his pants.
Now we're not at the point where Sean puts the Maple Leaf in his nose. We're not at that point yet.
Nope.
That's like a couple months away.
And you know what? I heard, now I don't know if it was a rumor that was Brett's idea.
Huh.
Like, because he really wanted to get that rivalry going, right? And you got Vince and Brett. Little premonition what's going to happen in a locker room in about three.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I remember this when Vince and Brett fought. Oh, this was so awesome.
And Del Wilkes.
The Patriot gets involved.
Yep. The Patriot gets a payday for 2 months here to be Brett's kind of rival while Sean doing his Undertaker thing. Oh, man. And here's Sean.
That must have been a nice payday, though, for him.
Yeah. And here's the roll-up. Does he pull the tights here? Oh, he does. That cheater. This was in Halifax, I believe, wasn't it?
This looks like Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Oh, and Brett had that line on Pittsburgh. Oh, my God. about the American enema.
Oh, jeez.
You remember the line?
No, I don't.
He said, if America had an enema, they'd stick the hose right here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And they, Brad had a podcast with, I forget who it was, and he's like, you know what? I don't regret too much in the wrestling business, but I love Pittsburgh, and I want to say I'm sorry for that line. So it's Heart and Soul SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And it's a big crowd. Like, in 97, they didn't do no big crowds.
Yeah, like we mentioned, 20,000 were in attendance for this.
Yep.
So they got a good-sized crowd for this show.
And they're talking about Austin here. And you can tell, look at Vince. He's like, oh, my God, my big ticket guy might never wrestle again.
Yeah. Now, there's a line in this when they're talking about the main event. And Jerry Lawler has maybe one of the best lines I've ever heard or ever read when he talks about Shawn Michaels. And he's like, Shawn Michaels would be upset if he was at a funeral because he wasn't the center of attention.
He's like, no, he goes and he says, it's, when he goes to the funeral, he's upset because he's not the corpse.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of true.
Yeah.
It's like, why is everyone looking at the dead guy? Like, no one's looking at me.
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
It's true. And yeah, that's what like Jerry says. He does say that line in at this event. He's like, Sean's gonna make himself center of attention somehow.
Yeah.
Because he's a special referee. You gotta see it coming.
Jerry have an interaction with two youngsters in the front row.
Yeah.
All right, and now Sean should be coming out.
Yep. And JR has a good line here, I believe, too, about how Earl Hebner should get pyro next time he comes out or something.
There are probably fans after hearing that comment are like,
Brett's coming out first?
He is? Oh, wow.
Oh, that's going to piss him off.
Oh, wow. I thought Sean came out first. All right.
Ben with a toilet seat and the Canada flag. God, this is such a good time.
Man, those summer nights, man.
I was in grade 9 or 10. Maybe going into grade 9.
I was going into the 6th grade.
You're going to the 6th grade. Okay, that's so you're younger than me. Yeah, it was like high school for me. Yeah, man. And Brett's going to cut a promo here on America. Oh, no, this is where he gets... He wants everyone to sing Oh Canada.
Yep.
In New Jersey.
And they actually play it.
Yeah, they play it, and you know what? Brett kind of breaks character here a little bit. Because some of the fans are singing.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like looks at it going, oh, okay, cool. I got fans still.
Yeah, I still got fans in America. You know, kind of staying with Brett here for a minute.
Yeah.
And this is something I guess I always thought about. When he went to WCW, never had the shades that he normally wore. I wonder if that was something that
it's probably
WWF had trademarked or Brett like, nah, I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah. Well, WCW just ruined that whole thing.
Because that was, like, one of the few things, like, as a young boy I really liked about Brett was the shades. Those were, like, the coolest looking things.
Yeah. When he, and when he'd like get out of the ring and give them to a fan. Mm-hmm.
Especially when the little, or not little, but when the girls get them and they're crying.
Yeah.
And he's like, Brad, I love you, Brad.
Yeah. So, I didn't know who I was cheering for when I watched this live. I remember, like, I wasn't a big Undertaker supporter. Like, I always respected him. Right. It's not like I was a big Undertaker fan.
Right.
I liked Shawn, but he was a ref. You're not cheering for the ref.
No, you're really not.
So, and at this point, I was kind of like watching it and like looking at the stipulation. I was like, okay, Brett's going to win. How is he going to win?
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that has a Canuck suck sign. That's beautiful. Now, he's probably just talking about all of Canada, but I'm going to go with Vancouver on this one. And here comes your special guest referee. Oh, my God. He's such a tool. He's got his ref. 97
Sean is a pretty big tool.
97 Sean might be one of the worst people on earth.
Yeah. I cannot argue that.
I'd love to see a match between the 2005 Sean versus 97 Sean.
Oh, that would have been... You know what? Now that they're doing the new...
Should have handled it. I'm not working with this guy.
You know what? Now that they're coming out with the new WWE video game next year, maybe somebody there can get that done. Have like 97 Shawn Michaels against 2005 Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Well, I think you could do that in the old game.
Yeah, probably could.
You always had different, like, I don't know if it was just the clothing or the attributes or not, but.
Because, mm-hmm.
I see a picture of Brett when Shawn's dancing. He's probably, like, oh my God, I'm going to kill this guy.
Because, like, you could have done in those video games, like, Surfer Era Sting against Crow Sting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I never did that. I should have.
You know, I just noticed something there.
What?
Shawn, when he did the flex with his pyro, he did a DX.
Oh, yeah.
That's because we're a few weeks away from Triple H and Shawn kind of being an on-screen team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh. We're close. We're close to a lot of things.
Like, they're not DX until November.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come out and call themselves that till November.
Right.
And here comes the third wheel, the WWF champion, The Undertaker.
That's, you know what?
How ridiculous is that?
Like, with these kind of matches and this kind of situation, At times, I feel bad for whoever the champ is. Not all the time. But here, I feel bad for Undertaker. Because, you know, you got Bret Hart, who... And I was thinking about this before I got on. This is, like, maybe the best run of his career at this time. And then you have...
Bret 97 is great.
And then you have Shawn as the referee. And like we've both agreed, 97 Shawn is a tool.
And then you got
The Undertaker, who's a working guy who comes in, does his job.
I don't know why Mark Calloway didn't just tune up Shawn in the locker room. Like,
how could you? Seriously.
Now, I heard a story. Now, in May of 97, apparently Brett beat up Shawn in the locker room.
Yeah, that he actually...
Quit. Shawn quit.
Right.
Unsafe working conditions is what he said.
Have you ever heard Jim Cornette tell that story?
Yes.
So, for those that haven't heard, there's a part in it, because Jim Cornette is there when it happens.
Yeah.
He goes and he picks up a lock of Sean's hair that is on the ground, and he saved it. And then when he got divorced, he ended up losing the lock of hair.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was like, oh, Jim.
eBay. I got a lock of Sean's hair from when Rhett ripped out of his head.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's one of those things, like, you could never buy, you know. You'd have to get that, like, authenticated yeah. so many ways.
Sean probably wants it back. Have you seen his hair lately?
Oh.
He's
balder than my brother.
Yeah? How bald's your brother?
He's...
Context here.
He's got some hair, like, on the side and around the back.
Oh, a little Costanza.
Not much on the top.
Not much on the top?
Okay. Not much on the top.
A little cul-de-sac action. Well, here we go.
Yeah,
I
here we go.
Love the Golden Eagle belt.
Brett has said that is his all-time favorite title design.
Yeah.
And I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan was the first one to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Austin was the last one to have it. He had it for one day.
Yeah.
As they got that new belt they brought in.
I like that one too.
It was
honestly.
Nice. The Undisputed Championship, like that's famous with Brock Lesnar, is.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't like that one at all.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't like. And then John Cena ruined everything with the little spinner thing. Ask, read up on what the Big Show has said about that. Something about if you dry heave and it turns into a belt. That's what you get. Here's Sean raising up the championship.
Okay, now he's doing a good job here as a ref. He's putting the, you know, putting it together on the back.
I like, doesn't Sean, oh, that's disqualification. They should match it in now. Come on, ref, get in there.
But did the bell ring? That's the question. Did the bell ring?
I think I missed the part where, when Sean is like checking them
mm-hmm.
at the beginning.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I think you should get into a slugfest with Taker there, Brett.
I'm sure, and you know.
Undertaker was so good. Like, look how fast he's punching. He's not hitting them at all.
Right.
But Brett's selling it. One of my favorite things that Brett did was when he'd run into the turnbuckle. Like, chest first.
Oh, God, that. I always felt like, how did he, you know, how is he not, like.
Him and Owen were the best at that. I'm sure Brett showed Owen how to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a safe way to do that.
Well, he said that he owed it to his opponent. He always wanted to make his opponent look really good when he was like beating him down.
And you know, when I was reading Brett's book many years ago, and it's actually kind of true. There are guys that he wrestled before the whole Goldberg thing.
Oh, man.
Where, like, he was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to work with this guy. And a perfect example is Mick Foley.
Yeah.
And then after he had, like, his first match with him, he's like, oh, this guy's actually really good. I could work with him.
Yeah.
And another person that I could kind of put in, like, to the Bret Hart category of this guy hardly or never gets hurt when he works with another guy because he's so safe is Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Because Jericho you know, like, honestly, he never gets hurt in any of the, you know, those type of matches.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of the
people in the dungeon, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably learned from some of those guys on how to be safe, but make it look good.
And if I could put one more name into that mix, I'd put AJ Styles into that mix.
Yeah.
Because he never gets hurt.
Here's a guy being wasted, in my opinion, right now.
I don't know. I kind of like his
team. Still in the tag team? Is he in the tag team with the big guy still?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Diesel and Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Like, you got the really good worker in AJ, and then the green big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I'm sure they'll make almost the, you know, one of the big challengers soon.
And he seems like an actually genuine nice guy too.
Oh, he's huge, that guy, man.
Like, he's 7 foot six or something, but he seems like the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of this match so far?
It's kind of what I remember so far. Just, you know, Brett
back and forth.
Yeah, and then Undertaker starting to get an advantage, and then there's going to be a point, and I'm not going to spoil it yet, where somebody does come to ringside.
Yep.
I think his name is Fall Blairer or something.
Fall Blairer. That's good.
Fall Blairer.
No.
Ah. Now, you don't see this move often anymore.
No.
I think this would be my... Honestly, I think this would be my finisher if I was a wrestler.
A bear hug?
Yeah. Like, if I was to be like, okay, you have to come up with a big man finisher, that would be it.
Yeah, it kind of depends on who you're battling.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I don't think Undertaker's ever hit an elbow drop. Like, every time he goes for it, he misses, and then he does that little setup thing.
It's kind of like Ric Flair and going to the top rope. Like, he never hits it.
I don't think he's ever attempted it. He just goes up there and then he gets pressed up. Oh, and here, Brett's so good. He takes down the legs.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to that match that we talked about that you were at when he faced the Survivor Series.
Yep.
Brett was very good against big guys.
I'm so happy that show has aged well.
Sure has. I rewatched it a couple weeks ago.
Like,
and that
try...
Survivor Series match where it was called the Wild Card match.
Yes.
So good.
Like, I try not to be biased or show a lot of bias on the shows that I've been to, but I'm so glad that show has aged well.
It's there's been some good Survivor Series. I like 96.
96 is great.
95, 96, 94. 97 was a good show, but it's just known for the bad thing.
Yeah.
And, but it was, before that, it was a good lineup, good show.
I'm a big fan. I think I said this before to you. I'm a big fan of 98 Survivor Series.
Yeah, that was the tournament where the Rock won, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they kind of spoofed Montreal.
Yeah.
Where they put up Mankind in the sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good storyline. And I was very surprised with that.
It
surprised me in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, everyone assumed that they were going to screw over Steve Austin at the end, and then he doesn't even make it. He gets screwed over in the semifinal.
Right.
So, here's Brett just working that leg still. And I think in these matches, he does this so it'll sell his finisher.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also gives the bigger guy, like, I don't think it tires him out too much.
No.
Not that Mark Calloway... And at this age, whatever he is, I don't think he needs... I'm sure he's in great shape and everything.
Right.
But, like, I think it's easier for the bigger guys to go the 25-minute match with,
mm-hmm.
Brett, with Brett doing this. Because, like, you could tell Undertaker here, he's He's selling the leg injury, but he's not exerting any energy. He's just kind of hanging out, getting his leg wrapped up. Here comes Fig 4. And doesn't matter, it's WWF. There's no Ric Flair. You still hear a woo anytime someone puts that move on.
Oh, speaking of Ric Flair, have you heard that he has started another podcast?
I heard, yes. I haven't listened to any of it.
With, of all people, Mark Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I may use an old Gorilla Monsoonism, Mark Madden. Oh, hold on. I'll hold that gorilla.
Your guy.
Yep, there's Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer without makeup on?
Without a mustache is weird.
It's so wonderful. And Undertaker's just like, you son of a... One of the best.
And we're at the point where Kane has been mentioned.
Yeah, he's been mentioned, but nothing... Like, it's almost like you thought he was going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And which I think it was really... is done well, because at Bad Paul Bearer's just playing to the camera. Awesome. Yeah. When at Bad Blood, when he actually does appear, it's such a surprise. He kind of almost forgot about him.
Exactly. That's what makes it so good.
Yeah. And a funny story about that, Glenn Jacobs almost missed the show because he, like, his car broke down on the way.
Oh, no.
Have you ever watched... it's a documentary on the network called Brothers of Destruction.
No, I haven't seen that yet. I've heard it's really good.
You should watch it. It's basically Mark Calloway and Glenn Jacobs just sitting in a room, like, talking.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, and here's Undertaker. He finally gets a punch Paul Bearer. The way he falls down is like Humpty Dumpty. Eh? Oh. Oh, yes! That hit me! And there's Brett taking out the knees. Paul Bearer does a backward somersault. Oh, this match is so good.
Now, I'm gonna argue for Paul here on this one.
Yeah.
Because he never did anything to The Undertaker. He never touched the man. He never distracted the man.
He did hit him with the internet in SummerSlam.
That was the year before. I'm saying at this point now.
That's crazy. Like, it's only a year. Like, it seems like that was a long time ago when you're watching this.
Yeah, I know. Like, now, I still...
And okay, so sorry to cut you off. This is my favorite heel move by Brett. When he does...
Oh, yeah.
When he does a figure four on the ring post.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Like, he never did it when he was a babyface. He's like, why? Why? Don't you do it. He's so good.
Look at that. So accurate.
Yeah.
Well, that might be Bret Hart. He's going to teach me how to do that.
Is that your phone ringing there, or is that my phone ringing?
No, that was my phone.
Okay. And here comes Brian Pillman and Owen. Owen's worried. Owen should be at the hospital with Stone Cold here. I don't know why he's not there.
Owen's probably coming to apologize to Vince and be like, I didn't mean it. I really didn't.
Yeah, I apologize.
That was a complete accident, Vince.
Yeah, that was bad. And, Vince dominated this match so far.
Yeah, he has.
He had a little bit there where he had the bear hug, and he had some big moves in the corner. But for the most part, Brett's been working him down. And
it's kind of weird because I remember Paul Bearer getting involved, but I did not remember until seeing it now, Owen and Brian coming.
I didn't remember the Paul Bearer part.
Ah, okay.
Brett just flips off the crowd. I love it.
So we're even.
I'm the law here, Brett. It's just like, oh my God, I really want to punch you. Like, they had legit heat.
Let's see, there was Vlad the Superfan there.
Yeah, he's... I think he's at every event in 97.
When is that documentary coming out?
Which one? They have one on Vlad?
Yeah, there was one that was supposed to come out like in the summer, but they pushed it back for some reason.
I don't know. Like, does he just like have a lot of money and he just went to every event?
I don't know.
He's in the front row at every pay-per-view in 97. I know that.
He's like at he's all of that.
Yeah. Like, oh man, I'm going to retire. And I'm just going to follow wrestling around for a year.
Because I think, and I could be wrong, like, he came from Russia as a kid.
Yeah.
And he didn't know much English, and then he started watching, I don't know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him. I just remember seeing him in, like, all these events. Like, there's like, right. What is going on? Like, I don't know. That'd be cool. Maybe yeah, not so, now. I don't know. I don't know if I could watch all the pay-per-views now live. And here's Undertaker just destroying Bret's face and his leg.
Well, I have to watch Survivor Series tomorrow. Do you think I'm happy to watch that show? That is like the least hyped show I've ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah.
And this is it's a Survivor Series.
I don't even know any of the matches. Like, are they doing, like, what they normally do is, like, Roman Reigns fighting Big E?
Yeah, that's the main event.
And nobody cares. Roman Reigns is going to win, spoiler alert. Because until they have a match with The Rock, which they're trying to do, Roman Reigns will not lose. And here's a choke slam. Where's the referee?
Come on, referee!
Like, you got two referees in hockey. How is there no two referees in... Oh, look at this. He just picks them up.
See, that's another gorilla-ism.
Yep.
We need two referees in ringside. We need one in the ring and one out of the ring.
And here's the... He's pulling the tights. Oh, my God. Sean and Brad are in cahoots. Sean's acting all scared. You're a wrestler. Should not be scared of another wrestler. I know it's The Undertaker.
I'm curious. Have you ever seen the clip of Shawn Michaels being a guest referee for a match in Japan?
No, I have not.
It is funny. Because it's...
What year is it in?
99 or 2000.
Okay, so it's after he retires the first time.
Yeah, the first time. And, like, he's...
the money.
Like, there's some... I think it's like a... I forgot what type of match it is, but there's no count out. So, at one point, he starts counting one of the wrestlers out. And then he does it a second time, and the guy's like, there's no count outs, damn it!
Sean didn't care, he just, like... Waiting for his check to clear.
Yep. So anyway, Mark Madden with Ric Flair on his podcast. Mark Madden is one of the greatest walking advertisements for birth control I've ever seen.
Yeah. I gotta check this podcast out. Is it, have they had some recordings already? Or
just one.
Okay. So wait until there's a few, and then I can listen to a bunch.
So as of right now, the DK and Bill Wrestling podcast have done more episodes than Ric Flair's new podcast.
Well, it's a more credible podcast, right?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Very intelligent, good-looking guys.
Yeah, we're not going to bury anybody.
No.
We're going to tell it like it is.
I'll bury 97 Sean for being the biggest tool.
Well,
in
okay, yeah, that's an exception, though.
Yeah.
Because that's almost like universally agreed upon.
You can ask Sean, and he'll agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh my God. I was not a good person.
Yeah, I was a piece of crap. I'll admit it.
Yep. Even his friends agreed. And Brett's doing his little sequence of moves here. Suplex. And then we're going to get an elbow drop here. I haven't seen that before. The double bird.
he might have learned that from Stone Cold.
He just flipped off Vince. I don't know if he had canceled his contract at this point. I think that happens later.
Yeah, I think so.
20-year, it was an interesting deal that they worked out. 20 years
for $1 million.
Was it $1.5 million?
Mm-hmm. And he only had to work like 100 some days a year.
And for the first 5 years, it was higher money. And then the last 15 or something, it was supposed to be kind of like a backstage role,
mm-hmm.
where it's like $400,000 a year or something.
Right.
And WCW gave him more money for 3 years.
Yeah.
I think he only wrestled till like mid-99 till Goldberg kicked him in the head.
And then there was a story I recently read where, and this is the type of guy that Bret Hart is. The first day he's at WCW, he goes to the locker room and there's like a sign with his name on it.
Yeah.
He's like, "What's that for?" And somebody told him, "This is your locker room. You get your own locker room." And he's like, "F that. I want to dress with the guys. I want them to be, you know."
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that gets his own locker room that everyone hates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather be with the guys.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Nice move by Britt there.
Yep.
Are we still on the same spot?
I'm at 236.15.
Yep. I was at 236.18, so I'm going to be able to say.
So, yeah, you're like not too far ahead of me. Not too far.
And I believe there's a story here. Didn't Sid get fired before this event?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Some kind of silly thing that's supposed to happen.
Because I think, and again, this was another thing I watched recently.
Sharpshooter, now we got Chokeslam.
I think he was going to wrestle Vader at SummerSlam.
Yeah, he was supposed to.
Which is like, do we really need another Sid Vader match?
No. I mean,
nothing against
Vader match to begin with.
Like, again, nothing against either guy. But in 97, did we really need another Sid Vader match?
No. Yeah, you definitely, maybe on Sunday Night Heat, you know, like we love talking Heat. Your favorite show. So do I have to watch Survivor Series tomorrow?
No, you don't.
Oh. No. I'd like to be able to talk, like when we do our shows, like we're doing the Bret Hart show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, before we start that show, we should almost talk a little bit about the current product, but it's, God. Awful.
I mean,
like the AEW is okay.
I was talking last night to one of my friends, and we were talking about it. And yeah. WWE this year alone have released 80 wrestlers from their contracts. That's
why would they have so many to begin with?
They have. This is like the most.
Sign everybody.
This is the, like, pay-wise, this is the best era they are ever in.
Yeah. Well, there's Brett with the, when he runs into the turnbuckle. So good.
The Bret Hart Memorial spot.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's not dead.
No, he's not dead.
But it's still the Bret Hart Memorial spot.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to find You know what? You know when Sean does the flip in the corner and like he goes all the way up and then he flips back into the ring.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start calling that the Shawn Michaels Memorial Spot.
All right.
Even though he's not dead.
We can call it the Michael Hickenbottom Memorial Spot if you want. That's his real name, if you guys didn't know that.
It is. And then, the
great kid Michael Hickenbottom would have got over.
And then, when Mark Callis does the old school spot, it'll be referred to as the Mark Callis Memorial Spot.
Okay.
Oh, see, I thought he was going to choke slam him on the apron, but
yeah,
I guess we're not that far in yet to do that.
Yeah, we're at 2:39 here, so we got 10 minutes to go on the video, so I'm thinking that we're about 5 minutes away from a finish here.
Yeah, we got to be close.
And this match is, it's very good, but it's kind of dragging a little bit for me.
Yeah.
And
oh, here it is. The Mark Callis. Oh. Dang.
I feel like you're a little bit behind me now.
Not by much.
Well, we got Brett doing a superplex here.
Okay, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. And he hit his head.
And then, whoa. And then, you know, now that I remember it, these two had a match at the Royal Rumble in 96.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a good match.
It was good, but there's no finish.
Right. So this match makes up for it.
Yep. And Brett's going for the sharpshooter here. And I believe this is the first time someone gets out of it.
Yeah. Because it's like, if you get in it, you're not making it out.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Sean. He's passed out. Just ring the bell.
Do what Ken did. Do what Shamrock did.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you want to continue? If you don't answer, I'm going to stop. I don't know why I sounded like an old man there just now. I apologize to Ken Shamrock and to old men.
Well, you sound like Ken Shamrock now, maybe not 97 Shamrock.
Whoa.
Okay, so Undertaker just forced himself out of the sharpshooter, but Brett's still got the momentum here.
Yeah.
And Undertaker does look like a little gassed here. He has been getting the snot beat out of him for the last 20 minutes, so. Oh, he's calling for the tombstone.
Now, this kid and his dad are going up the steps. This is, like, the worst time to do it.
Yeah. I gotta pee, Dad.
Yeah, like, hold on for 10 minutes, son.
Pee your pants, kid. It's the main event.
You still have your cup from earlier? You could pee in that.
You had the DOA match to go pee. Well, I remember this. This makes no sense why he would try the sharpshooter here. And he's going to land on Sean. Sean's going to sell that fake knee injury from WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Sean's like, why are you doing it there? It makes no sense.
Yeah. The referee is down. What do? You get a chair.
Now, to be fair.
This is a legit chair, too.
To be fair, Sean is calling a good match.
Okay, that was a chair shot for sure. You don't see those headshots anymore.
Oh, God, no.
Get in here. I just clocked him. You know, if Brett had pinned him properly.
Gotta hook the near leg.
We're getting close to the finish here, guys.
Brett's a veteran. You gotta hook the near leg.
You're gonna see one of the best spit in the face jobs you'll ever see.
Oh yeah, like I love the ending to this.
And movie. I heard he was supposed to spit on his chest, but Brett, you know, Brett and Sean, there's a little issue here.
Right, he's supposed to spit on his chest.
A year and a half of frustration right here. Sean just absolutely nails him.
Oh my God, what that shot.
Yep. One, two, and three. Bret Hart is a 5-time WWF champion.
And the trash starts flying in.
The second guy to be a 5-time champion at this point, I believe.
Yeah, because Hogan was the first.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, once you get further into history, you got people winning titles every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H is like a 14-time champion or something.
But, like, back then, if you got to 5, that was a huge deal.
Exactly.
Look at that. Look at the trash coming in. I love this.
And Brett lifts up the belt 5 times. And you have your new champion.
I love Undertaker's look. He's like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. That wasn't supposed to happen. Then he rolls his eyes.
There's like two groups of fans. The fans that are starting to leave and the fans that are throwing trash.
Well, did the fans really think that Bret Hart wasn't going to win this match? Like, is this his retirement match, maybe?
Maybe.
Bret's retiring, so let's just, you know, we'll make this cool angle. And I was happy in this event when Bret won.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know who I was cheering for until the end. You ever have those matches where you watch something and you're like, oh. And then you're happy when one of the guys wins. You're like, oh, yes. I'm cheering for them.
Yes.
Kind of cool.
I was like that when Daniel Bryan fought John Cena at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And it was nothing against John. But I wanted Daniel Bryan to win that match so bad.
Yeah.
And it ended up being...
Which SummerSlam was that?
2013.
Okay.
And that ended up being like one of the greatest main events ever.
Daniel Bryan and John Cena. Pretty good rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bryan Danielson in AEW.
Yeah.
His matches have been good.
He fits perfectly.
Yeah. He's one of the best. Wrestling mm-hmm. in the world. I think it's just a matter of time before they do a CM Punk Bryan Danielson. I'm trying not to say his name wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Where's the anvil?
I was wondering that too.
Is he in the bathroom maybe? Am I supposed to be out there?
Maybe.
So honestly, it's depressing watching the Hart Foundation because, like, you look at it, they're this tight knit group,
mm-hmm.
and now it's like Brett's the only one that's.
Yeah, Brett's the only one.
Like the Bulldog, he had his issues. Pillman, Owens, tragedy.
The accident.
I know the Bulldog got like a bad back injury, and he got kind of hooked on the pills and stuff.
He did.
Like, imagine just like, I don't know. This is probably hard on. Like, if I don't know if Brett like watches his match, his back probably does a little bit. Probably tough.
Yeah, it probably is.
So up next, SummerSlam '98. That's what mine does. It got it. I kind of wish it would go and start playing the next pay-per-view. But, yeah, it just plays the next SummerSlam. I don't know why it does that.
Right.
But, yeah, I like the match that you chose. Like, I kind of gave you three options for Brett, and you picked this one.
Yeah.
Brett is a heel. When he's a heel, he wrestles a little differently.
He does.
Still does his, like, a Bret Hart match.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pose to you a question.
Okay.
Now, can you name a Bret Hart match that's not good? Because I can't.
Ooh.
I'm not talking some lame Hart Foundation tag match in two or something. Like, singles Bret Hart match on a pay-per-view.
I can't.
Like, he made, like, oh, who was that? Oh, no, I just lost my train of thought. He wrestled somebody at one of the first In Your Houses.
He had a match with Hakushi.
Well, there was Hakushi. That match was great. He had some match, Jean-Pierre Lafitte, I think.
Yes. Yes.
He made that guy look good. I honestly, like, you put Brett with anyone that's half decent, and he can make it into a 5-star match. Now, I'd give this 4 stars for the story you told. Brett winning, kind of setting up that next program, which I don't really like what they do with Brett as a champ here.
Yeah.
It's kind of lame. He has the Ground Zero mid-card match with the Patriot for the title. And then, because Shawn and Undertaker are in the main event, that's the first time they're ever having a match.
Right.
Which leads to the next month where they have the Hell in a Cell, which should be the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett and Bulldog face Vader and the Patriot in a tag
match. In a
flag match, which is super lame. So it's multiple lame Bret Hart matches for the story. Now, matches were good because Brett's amazing. Like, Del Wilkes says the Patriot wasn't a great wrestler. But I honestly can't think of a match that he did that wasn't a good match.
Yeah, I can't either.
I'm sure there's something, but...
And we're talking singles only.
Yeah. Even some of the tag matches, the Hart Foundation, they always had good matches. They were a good team. Like, you had the finesse of Brett and then the muscle of
Anvil.
But yeah, I'm very excited for our next episode. Brett the Hitman Hart career.
Yep.
And we're not going to do a year.
No.
Because it's a long career.
It is.
We'll talk about everything. Well, I think we'll probably stick to the WWF and WCW part of his career.
Yeah.
Because the Stampede stuff could be a whole episode by, on its own.
Mm-hmm.
To start off as the Hart Foundation and chronicle his career.
Right.
Like we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would almost like to pose maybe a poll on the Facebook page what match we should do next for a watch-along.
Yeah.
Or
if you guys can give us some suggestions, and maybe we'll take the suggestions, and then we'll do a viewer's choice.
Yeah. I would honestly like to do a watch-along Royal Rumble would be fun.
Oh, those are fun.
So, why don't we... now, I don't know how often you want to do these.
Oh, gosh. I think we should make it like a treat, you know.
Yeah. Where I was thinking that maybe like one of us could pick a year and a wrestler, and then the other guy can pick the match.
Okay.
So, like, we have to decide this right now.
How about Okay, I thought about this. I just thought of this.
Sure.
Since we did today a match the day before the Survivor Series, even though we just watched a SummerSlam match.
Yeah, we did SummerSlam.
Just stay with me.
We turned on the Sean. We turned it on the Montreal Screwjob. What were we thinking here?
I know. No, but what I was thinking was, let's do the next watch along in January for the Royal Rumble.
Sure.
And then I'll let you pick the match.
Oh, there's so many good Royal Rumbles.
I know.
Some for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one that jumps off the page is 05 because it's so funny.
It is.
But... Okay. My the 2002 Royal Rumble is one of my favorites.
All right.
Now, it'd be nice if we could kind of coincide it with something else in that year, possibly. Where we dropped a Royal Rumble watch along 02, and then we have like a episode on some maybe Triple H or something that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Because he is the eventual person that wins that event. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for those that have never seen it. All right. So, next time, we will talk about the career of Bret Hart. And we will give you guys updates on different activities we're going to do. So, excuse me.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and I hope that most of you that listened followed along. Mm-hmm. So it makes a little bit more sense than just listening to a radio broadcast of SummerSlam 97 here.
Right.
But I need to follow along, and that's how we're gonna do these watch alongs. We're gonna tell stories. We're gonna remember things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get off topic. We're gonna start talking about things that's going on in today's world. Yep. And I think I will watch the Survivor Series. And maybe we can give a little recap of that before the Bret Show.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Sounds great. Thanks everybody for listening. Share the show. Download it.
And
get it out there. And
hope I'm still working on trying to get it on the Apple Podcasts and the other major places. I don't know what's going on with the host site. I'll check in on them. Hopefully we'll get it up on the big sites real soon. So.
Yeah, that'd be good. But yeah, appreciate everybody. And
yeah, we'll see have a good weekend. Yep. All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.